bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba ba.
Welcome everybody to the bonus hour. Dean, not Dean. We already talked
to Wendy.
Dean Richards. You're all right. This is why name tags would really help me out a lot. If everybody could just put a name tag on, then I would know who everybody is. So I know you're Wendy, and I know who Dean is now. But you know who Orion Samuelson is, right, Wendy?
Yes, I do.
He's been with the station for many, many years. He, during the news, just said something that I always am curious about. He was telling a story. It's not important what the story is. What's important is, toward the end of the story, he said lawyers for them tried to reach for comment, and they did not immediately return for a comment or words to that effect. I always think about that because you hear that more and more now, or you read it sometimes online in a story, there will be some sort of a controversy, and then they'll go to the source and they'll say that that person was not immediately available for comment. How much time do they give them in that equation?
Well, the time it takes to ask the question and the time they want to go on the air with the story.
Is that what it is?
Whether radio or TV, yeah.
I guess everyone has a deadline to some extent. So you say, okay, this happened. I got to go to the source. I'll call him. Oh, he's not answering. I'll give him 5 minutes. I'll give him 10 minutes. Oh, my deadline's coming up at 3, so I'll go till 3 o'clock, and then I'll just put was not immediately available for comment.
And then if they do comment, you can write another article,
say another report. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, God, in this day and age, news is updated every 10 seconds.
That's the key, is it used to be you would get your news at 5, 6, and 10 on television, and you'd get it in the morning, or if you had the afternoon version of the paper, that's when you got your news. And even though stuff kept happening, you weren't really kept aware of it until you saw it on TV, or I guess the newsreels, if we're going back even
further.
What
is that?
Then you would find out what the news was once every week.
Right.
That was handy. Boy, think about the people who grew up watching newsreels where that you didn't get your news at home. You had to go to the movie theater to get your news on a newsreel.
Oh, yeah.
And it was every week. Think about how confusing this world must be to them, where the news is instantaneous, where the second anything happens, it's on your phone. It's everywhere you look. That must be dizzying. I'm going to have to lay down. I'm dizzy now. Dizzier.
I want so badly to talk Big Brother. I know you don't watch it, but last night was the finale night.
Mm-hmm. You found out who the murderer was? That's why I would watch it, to find that out. Were you not happy with the outcome?
Well, no, but I don't want to spoil things because sometimes people...
Oh, you won't for listeners.
Yeah,
all
because
right.
sometimes...
I was going to say, I know you won't spoil it for me.
I know Nick DiGilio hates the house guests as much as I did. It was really a bad group of people.
Don't they want you to hate some of them, though?
This was like all of them I didn't really care about. And then...
Everybody? Anyone you were rooting for?
As you watched, yeah, you kind of started rooting for people. But... I don't want to give any results away, so if you haven't watched it yet... I'll try and be so careful, but I want to say something that might reveal...
Oh, be careful.
I know, but... All right, let me just say...
It aired last night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have
to
be careful.
At 8:30, I mean...
I know, but if, you know...
I know.
Somebody taped it for today, or DVR'd it, I guess.
I know, but...
Yeah?
In this world of the internet...
Mm-hmm.
I won't spoil anything.
You won't say who won.
No, but I will say this.
And that was the purpose of yesterday's episode, was to have
a final winner.
Somebody won.
Yeah.
Yes.
Out of 15 people, somebody walked away with $500,000.
Do they, on Survivor, do they eliminate people every week so it was down to a precious few yesterday?
This is Big Brother.
Or Big Brother, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So it wasn't all 15 of the Big Brother kids. It was just a couple, right?
Yeah, it whittles itself down. They have evictions where people get evicted, and sometimes people make stupid choices. It's so weird because Jim and I like this and watch this all the time. And I said to Jimmy Mack, why don't you
be on Big Brother?
Yeah, I'm like, 500 grand, we could use that.
Forgive me for not understanding this, but I don't. What are you doing to advance on Big Brother? I know on other shows... I know what you're doing to survive on Survivor or on The Bachelor, but on Big Brother, where you're just living in a house with other people...
There are challenges. There are contests. There's head of household competitions, and if you win that, you pick two people that are going on the block to be evicted.
Oh.
And there are the golden power of veto, where if you win
Is Vito on the show? I love him.
No, this is V-E-T-O.
I want my own room. I told you, I'll be on your show, but I need my own room. I love that guy.
But if you win a veto and you're on the block, if you're up for eviction, you can take yourself off. So there are definitely competitions.
There is.
It's just basically a social experiment. You take 15 people from all walks of life, different races, different beliefs, mm-hmm. and you put them together. And usually there is...
Are there alliances, Wendy?
Yes.
There are?
There are alliances. There are showmances. And
of course there are.
You know,
But don't they... I mean, I have not seen a second of the show ever. Don't they pick a couple people that are just without a doubt, they want you to root against, they want villains, they want bad people on the show. So you go, oh, I hate that Scott guy. I hate that Scott guy.
Yeah, but I mean, this season seemed very bland to me when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't seem like there was going to be someone you love to hate mm-hmm. or someone you love to love. It mm-hmm. was just kind of meh.
Yeah.
And then as you watched and people were eliminated and relationships and alliances changed, it got really good. But all I'm trying to say is the last 10 minutes, last maybe 15 minutes of the finale last night, and I'm not going to mention who won.
Mm-hmm. But you want to, but you're not
going to. No, I'm not going to. But there is something called Big Brother After Dark on Pop TV where you can tune in at, I think it's from midnight to 1 a.m. And we just DVR'd it. It's not like I stayed up to watch it. So you'd watch, and it's a lot of times they're doing nothing.
They're just sitting around?
Yeah, because...
Can you hear them or just see
yeah,
them?
Yeah, you can hear them, and sometimes they're talking game strategy. Sometimes, you know, they're talking about their Taco Tuesday dinners, and, you know, it's just
in
kind of...
In a group or separately?
It depends. There are cameras in every room, so sometimes, you know, it got down to the final three, so it was kind of boring. One of them was a showman, so they were in one room together, and Nicole was by herself.
Do they do anything overtly sexual?
I didn't see it this time.
Is Kyle Long ever in the background without his pants on?
He was this time. But like you see, it's so weird because the social experiment is, there's one big bathroom.
Oh, that's handy.
In the shower, there are shower doors, but it's open above. So, like, while somebody's brushing their teeth, somebody could be in the shower. And think about it. You're with these people for 90-some days.
Yeah.
99 days, I believe. So it's a full summer. You're going to kind of get pretty comfortable with one another.
Yeah. Even after 90 days, I would
Well, you would last own. 1 minute.
If that, I don't think I would last that long.
You would
long.
Quit.
I'd need my own bathroom. There's no way I'd share a bathroom with strangers.
Yeah, you wouldn't
I could
last.
Could you do that? You could be in the shower while some guy was in there brushing his teeth?
I was out for $500,000, yeah.
That's not enough.
And I like to think that I can be a little bossy.
Yeah.
But this is a game, so yeah. I would bite my tongue a lot.
Yeah.
And try, you know, you have to have a social game, you have to have a competitive game. But all I want to say and get out there is... and I'm not going to be too specific, but the last 15 minutes of the Big Brother finale last night involved some of the dialogue that happened on the Big Brother After Dark. There were some viewers that watched this After Dark thing.
Mm-hmm.
They know cameras are on them 24/7.
Of course they do.
But some of the things that were said seemed a little racially motivated.
Oh, really?
So Julie Chen Moonves actually brought up some... situations and said, you know, Kemi is a black contestant who was eliminated very early on.
Yeah.
And she was saying how she felt that there were some racial tensions and bad words that were used. And when you guys watch the episodes back, you will see what you did. And they kind of apologized to her. There were three people that were mentioned that had some racial connotations.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow, that's bad.
I know.
That's horrible.
And so they kind of apologized, and Julie Chen Moonves said to Kemi, do you accept their apology? And she said, well, most times people apologize for something they know they've done. If they're just giving me a blanket apology, I don't know. And I agreed with her.
Yeah.
It's just the end of the show was kind of riddled with controversy, and it kind of...
The controversy being that?
Yeah, some racial speak, some bullying that went on.
Yeah.
Where there was an alliance of people, and Nicole, one of the final three members, was trying to get in the room, and they basically said, we're talking, get away, we'll talk to you later.
Mm.
But, I mean, it is a game. And that, but it, they, is it bullying or is it saying, hey, we've got an alliance thing here, could you come back later?
It's a little bit of both, but it's the kind of thing that the producers salivate over because it's controversial. I mean, I'm not comfortable. I hate the fact that there's obviously people with some racist slant to what they're talking about. That's uncomfortable to me.
Absolutely. And Big Brother had to bring that up because it went on the internet maybe 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer than that. That some
it's been
of
the, lingering that long?
Yeah. And Julie Chen Moonves,
yes.
That's what she goes by now.
In support, of course, of her scandal-ridden
husband.
Yes.
Well, Bill, you can't criticize her for...
No, she's standing by him. I guess good for her.
I don't know. If it's good for her, good for her. If it's bad for her, bad for her. But it had to be addressed because some viewers saw stuff on the 24-hour thing.
That was uncomfortable.
Yes.
If so many people watch that, why did only a couple people recognize?
Not that many people
watch
it.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Were you watching that time when they said no?
No. And they addressed it sort of because they play clips back from previous shows, and they addressed it sort of.
But how stupid of them. They had to know that they were being recorded. If this is an ongoing thing, they do this thing every week.
Every night.
Every
night this Big Brother After Dark is going. These guests have signed a statement knowing that they know cameras are going 24/7.
Mm-hmm. So how stupid are they to just go, well, I'm sure I can get away with this.
Now, and some was hearsay. Some said that they heard that what appeared to be the N-word, but it was not audible. So
really,
yeah,
it's horrible.
I know. So, like, you know, the finale of Big Brother was tarnished this season, which just shows you, like, none of the people were good.
Who hosts Big Brother other than, is it just Julie Chen Moonves? She does it all by herself. There's no,
there's a bad hyper announcer guy.
You never see him though, right?
No.
He's just a voice.
And then there are comedic actors that come in to play various. There are different characters that come on. Like, if you get a punishment.
We know did that.
Gilbert Gottfried was.
Did Gilbert Gottfried do it once?
He was one time.
I think Jimmy Pardo may have also done a week.
I don't think so.
No? I thought
he did one.
I've
watched pretty much every season.
No. Oh, but Gilbert Gottfried, they brought him in, and then what was his role in this?
He, I can't remember if he was Zingbot, which is you just.
Zingbot?
You zing, criticism at all the house guests. It's stupidly funny. And then Otev, which is Vito spelled backwards. I think that's what Gilbert was. And he just was hosting a competition. And he's like, I am Otev. This is Gilbert Godfrey. It was just crazy. I was kind of surprised Gilbert did it. I can't stop watching the show. I'm going to watch
it. What are you getting out of this?
It's amusing to me.
Yeah.
I like the social experiment. That's when I said to my husband, you should do this. And, you know, he's bothered by different things. Like, I like the fact that for 99 days, these people have lived together. Some were evicted sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a working relationship with each other because you're there with each other sharing a house. So they got very open and it's like, you know, hey, I love you. I love you too. And Jim's like, enough of the I love you stuff.
Right.
And I said, Jim, you would get kicked out like the first day because you'd be crabby.
I guess you'd have to try to put all that aside, and you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You said it's 90 days?
99 days. It's all summer, you know? It's a little over 3 months. You know, a lot of these people left their wives, their husbands,
man.
Their kids.
For $500,000?
Yeah.
Does the second place person get anything, or is it winner take all?
$50,000, I think.
That's quite a drop-off. I could do it if I knew for sure I got $500,000 at the end of the 100 days. I couldn't do it for less.
Well, you'd have to work for it.
Nah.
And, you know, social game, there is no guarantee. And, you know, this is kind of interesting to me. I guess why I like watching it is I want to see the type of person that would give up 99 days of their life for that. And it's just, I don't know. I started watching the first season, and what I get out of it is it's entertaining to me.
You know what it reminds me of is, I know that when I start to say this, you'll say, no, your analogy is ridiculous, but hear me out. Did you have an ant farm when you were a kid?
Yeah, for a minute till they all dried up and died.
It always says on the directions for the ant farm, do not mix ants from other colonies. You know, when you went out to find ants to put in your ant farm, you'd have to find a bunch that were in the same colony. Because if you put ants from different colonies in, all they would do is fight, which was more interesting to the viewer, much like it is on this show.
So you'd intentionally do it?
Well, it was never intentional. I never had one myself, but several of my friends growing up had ant farms. And the ones that got ants from the same colony, all you got to see were the ants just digging a hole down to the bottom of the ant farm, and there was nothing at the bottom, so there was no payoff. But if you got ants from other colonies, you would see the warring factions go at each other, and that was really interesting. And I think whoever came up with the idea for the show Big Brother must have had an ant farm and done ants from other colonies, because that's the only time it's interesting. If you put all these people in the house and everybody got along together, that'd be an awful show. Nobody would want to watch that.
For the most part, they got along. There were a few incidents where tempers flared. But, you know, you're... And then it's like, what do? You make deals with people, and you want to have integrity and stick to your end of the deal. But when push comes to shove, mm-hmm. you may have to change those deals at the end, because the goal is for you to win $500,000.
Right.
I just really kind of enjoy watching it.
Do you think this makes... All right, I know you're...
We're talking Big Brother, Kim.
Okay.
All right, let's say you're high school age or college age and you watch the show. Does this make you a better potential roommate, like when you go away to college or later on if you live with a couple friends? It doesn't teach you any negotiating skills?
It's not
skills
there to teach. It's there to just...
To rile you up.
No, it doesn't even. It's just... It's entertaining to me. I like watching Survivor as well. It's competitions and people, again, that's a social experiment too, because if you don't get along with your tribe...
Isn't it the same show Inside and Outside?
No.
They're not the same. It's not kind of the same, but one's outside by huts and the other's inside in an apartment.
I guess they're similar, yeah. But this is just one group of people in Survivor. There are different tribes against... They're supposed to go against each other.
They have spears and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be more interesting if they had weapons.
It's just, you know, I know you're not into it. The ratings, you know, they're huge.
Survivor's been around for how long? I mean,
well, they always
over
say
10
like,
years for sure.
It's always the 28th season, but they always do two or three a year, right?
Big Brother, not as long as Survivor. And we started watching Survivor first. I know Mary Vandeveld's a big fan of Survivor, and I think we should... She had talked about maybe becoming a contestant on Survivor. She should totally do it.
Yeah.
She would be good.
It would be good for her.
Lisa Welchel was on it on Survivor.
Oh, she was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Big Brother is different. It's just an interesting social experiment, and the finale.
And as a bonus, you get a little bit of racism.
Well, that's certainly not why I watched. I'm just saying it's very sad that the finale was tainted with racism this year.
Yeah.
So,
it's horrible.
I guess Nick DiGilio did talk about the outcome last night. It says, too late, Wendy. Nick gave the results on his show last night.
But don't give him away. You don't want anyone to know who won.
No, but I'm bothered that it was tainted with racially insensitive stuff going on, and a little bit of bullying, and hopefully people can learn from this.
Yes.
And not be such jerks.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. And I mean the people in the house.
Right.
And Nick and I have been trying to communicate about this. We really want to talk to one another, but on each shows, but I'm sleeping when he's on and he's sleeping when we're on. Yeah. So
you guys bought a house together, didn't
you? Yes, we did. It's going to be an experiment. We're going to share a bathroom.
It's going to be the WGN Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Just me and Nick DiGilio.
It's going to be ruthless in there. I can't wait to find out what happens.
I bet we become the best of friends and don't fight.
I don't think
You think I'm impossible to live with, don't you?
I didn't. No,
you're taking Nick's side.
No, that would be interesting to watch. So it's you and Nick in a house or apartment. It's up to you for 100 days. You could do that.
Do you get to leave? Ever?
No,
you don't.
These people can't leave. They can't. You know, if they win ahead of household competition, they get a letter and goodies from home. Other than that, they can't talk to their loved ones. They can't use phones. They don't have TV.
Because they want to trap you like a rat.
Well, you can't have any outside influence.
Well, I would be miserable with that, no matter who I live with.
Right.
But that's why people cry sometimes, because emotionally it breaks you down. Why are you giving that look that my husband looks at?
Because that's exactly why they do the show. That's
right.
Their goal is they
want. Well, not everybody cries.
They want to drip water slowly on your forehead for 100 days so you cry.
Well, not everyone would cry.
Right.
These people, listen, they're the ones, it's an open casting call right now. You can send your video to Julie Chen Moonves.
Nah.
Not you personally, but you in general. People want to do this, Bill.
I know.
Cowboy Cliff was there, you know, on the off hours. He was taking time to do a video blog so his wife could watch every day and keep track of him.
Cowboy Cliff.
Yeah, he was a guy our age, so one of the older people in the house. He made it pretty far.
Yeah.
And he just was taking time on the live stream to do these daily updates like, well, honey, here's what I'm thinking about right now. He would just talk and like I'm watching going, I don't care. It just, it's fascinating to me.
I guess.
You can't roll your eyes at me. Your wife watches The Real Housewives.
I know. I know. I'm not happy about it.
And this at least has an outcome.
And the, all right, so on Housewives, all I know because it's anytime I walk through a room and my wife is watching it, someone is yelling at someone else. There's never a time where someone's not yelling at another woman on the show. That's a given. It's not like that with your show.
Nope.
It's not
I don't like
nonstop yelling.
I don't know how Terry does it.
Why is that entertaining to watch?
It's not. We all have guilty pleasures.
Oh,
like
I
things
know.
That we just enjoy for, you know, that's
I
just
know.
Nonsense.
Do you think, though, it fills a void in somebody's life? Like if somebody is kind of not confrontational, that by watching people who are, they're like, well, then it's out of my system now because I can see them be confrontational.
No, it's not going to change your personality.
It's not going to help.
Because my wife is not, you know, Terry, she's not confrontational at all. But this show that she watches all the time, it's just wall-to-wall screaming at each other.
Because you like what's different from you sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I work with you.
Yeah.
Yep. We're different.
Yep. We'll take a break, and then Kim will give you the news, and then we'll spy on each other. It'll be great. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate it. We know you have to get back to the newsroom. We thank you for all your help. My little big brother update, What's Hot, What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Man.
Are you going to read Demi Moore's book?
Demi Moore has a book?
Yeah. It's been all over the news. Haven't you seen any of the stories?
I've only seen a story that there's a picture of her being pregnant when she was pregnant with Ashton Kutcher's baby before her miscarriage. Mm. Does that have to do with the book?
That's one of the revelations in the book, yes. There are several.
I don't care about her anymore.
No? Demi Moore. Not anymore. Amy Moore's her sister. Demi Moore. There's a story about, there's several stories about Ashton Kutcher's his ways, his
infidelity,
hungers, his thirsts,
his sex addiction, allegedly.
I don't know. Are they calling it a sex addiction?
No, I don't know. I why would I read this?
I don't know. As a cautionary tale.
Hey, if I had Ashton Kutcher, if I was able to get him, I would do everything in my power not to lose him.
No. You know what's strange is he told the story, he's told it more than once, about when he was a young boy, that was the girl he dreamt about and fantasized about and had a poster of her in his room. There's very few people who, as a child, have, you know, fantasies about some star and then go on to marry them. That doesn't happen very often. Vicky Lawrence.
I thought this is where Nancy Walker would come up again.
Oh, Nancy Walker, the quicker picker upper. But I mean, honestly, I don't know that he may be, if there was a club of people who pulled that off, he might have been the only guy in that meeting. Because that's really rare to fantasize about some star or starlet and have their picture on your wall. And then you wake up 20 years later and you look over and you go, oh, I married that girl that I dreamt about, that I married her. Look at that. How about that?
What was strange to me is he was about the age of at least one of their daughters. Very close to.
A little bit older than the oldest daughter that she had with Bruce Willis, right.
Because there are three of those daughters, and they called him like Dad 2 or Second
something
Dad
like
or
that.
Something like that. And you'd see pictures of them all together. And, you know, here's another thing. All right, there is something wrong with me. I watch Big Brother, and I'm catching up on The Making of a Murderer because I didn't realize there was a second season. I guess I did, but it went to the back of my mind. And that's another thing. Brendan Dassey's mother, I think she's on her third husband, but when they go see Brendan at the correctional facility, it's her and her current husband, and then Brandon's father, her first husband.
And they're all
there. All so nice to each other. Yeah. And it's
You wouldn't do it that way?
I don't know. I mean, I can't say. First of all, I'll never have to worry about it. And I'm not trying to make light of people who can make that work, because I do know people who have gotten divorced and said, oh, my God, we get along better now than when we were married.
You hear that quite a bit.
And you do have to be a team for your kids.
You know how there's a scene in every made-for-TV movie about a couple getting a divorce where they explain that they were once in love and they still like each other, but they're just not in love the way they used to be, and they're, you know, they've grown apart. I was very fortunate to not come from a broken home, so I don't know what those moments are like,
yeah,
except for what I've
seen
on TV. But
it's hard for everyone involved.
Yeah, for
the kids, the parents, and I know people that stay together because of the kids, and that's not necessarily a great thing either.
Right. I think I've asked you this before, and I think your answer was no, but by us, there were several couples that broke up almost immediately upon their kids graduating from high school. It was like some floodgate opened, and I think I counted four or five people that we knew. We knew one or two of them were kind of on shaky ground. A couple of them were shocking to us, but they all fell down like it was a house of cards, where somebody announced they were separating, someone else announced that they were getting a divorce for sure, they're already living apart. It all happened very quickly upon their kids graduating from high school.
I don't know a lot of people that have done that, but
no.
I don't.
It was very awkward.
Yeah, I don't. No one that I know well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are families, but no.
No, you were lucky. Because it was, I mean, I know everybody's different. Everybody's storyline is different. I understand that. But like in a couple of those cases, it's like, wait, what? How did that happen? How did that fall apart so quickly? Maybe it had been lingering for years. You know?
Yeah, you don't know what's cooking in someone else's pot.
Here's the other really strange thing about Demi Moore and her book. She mentioned that she made some movie with John Cryer, and the name of the movie is escaping me, but it was one of those teenage love story movies that came out in the 80s and 90s.
Not a John Hughes, though.
No, it wasn't a John Hughes movie. If I heard the title of it, I'd remember, but it was John Cryer, and Demi Moore played his girlfriend in the movie. So then in real life, as sometimes happens...
No Small Affair.
No Small Affair. That's it, exactly. So what you see happen sometimes is the stars who play the couple then become a couple in real life, too, because even though they're playing a couple in love, they think, we must be in love. We're in love. So they fell in love. And she says in the book that she took John Cryer's virginity from him, that was the first time John Cryer had slept with a girl, to which he this week said, oh, that's not incredibly accurate. I'd already had a situation or two in high school. I met her later on. He said, I admit I fell for her 100%, and she was in a very dark place at the time. She had already had some horrible things happen to her, and he said, you know, she was in a weird, vulnerable state, and he said, I didn't know what to make of it because all that was very new to me. We did sleep together, but it was not my first and everything like that. But here's what I was thinking. At some point when he was working with Ashton on 2.5 Men...
Oh, yeah.
Man, did that come up at some point? Was it already known that he had had some sort of relationship with her? Was that, wouldn't it be awkward to work with somebody and you know you've had a relationship with his wife?
I think he had moved on.
I'm sure.
But I mean, you know, she had been married to Bruce Willis and had three kids with him. There's already awkwardness there, and he was able to handle that no problem.
But let's say somebody here, somebody that you work with, one of the women here.
I love these hypotheticals.
This is hypothetical, Wendy. I'm almost positive this isn't true. But let's say somebody here that you work with, one of your coworkers, had some sort of a relationship with Jimmy before you met them. Would that be semi-awkward in some ways, or would you just go, it was a long time ago, whatever? Wouldn't there be some tinge of, well, that's weird?
I'd say that. I go, boy, that's a small world. But obviously she wouldn't know what he had become. Like if it was high school.
Yeah.
I've met a high school girlfriend of his at a reunion.
But on 2.5 Men, they were working together every day.
They're actors. They can put up with anything. There's a lot of interplay going on in Hollywood.
I bet there is.
There is. I find it strange, though, that he would deny it. It can't hurt him to just go along with the story. Why does he come out to dispute it? Is there someone that he cared about who he wanted to protect? Because it just seems like, I don't know, it's not worth coming out going, by the way, I wasn't a virgin when I was with you.
I think maybe it was his way of saying, just because it's in Demi Moore's book doesn't mean it's 100% true. Maybe he's defending Ashton to some extent, just saying, look, I know she's, it's in print, I get it, but here's one example, for instance, of something she put in the book that isn't.
So he's trying to protect Ashton.
I don't know.
Would you deny it?
I just think it would, I don't know. It would just be so weird to work with somebody regularly. Like, I know I've told you this before. My wife has a lot of pictures of Andy Mazur, and I don't know.
I just saw him this morning.
I don't know why she has him, but anytime I come into the room, she's shuffling him around. She's putting him in drawers. What are you doing? Nothing. It's not important, but I don't know. There's just an awkwardness.
It would be awkward, but I mean, you know,
I know the past is the past.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, everybody has a past.
Right.
So I don't think you'd react as weirdly as you think you would.
At one of my reunions, there was a guy that I went to high school with, who all through high school was dating this girl that I was just crazy about. I ended up dating her later when I was in college, but in high school, I was so crazy about this girl, and he was the one who was dating her. And at the reunion, I can't remember if I brought it up or he brought it up, but her name came up, and we spent about 20 minutes just telling stories about this girl and what it was like to date her. And, you know, what happened afterwards and all like that. And then when it was done, I said, I got to be honest with you. I never thought that this conversation would take place. And he laughed and he goes, no, I didn't either. You know,
but it's, we so were far just kind of,
that's what it was. I don't think we could have had that conversation 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years removed from either of us dating this girl. But after several years had passed, we could look upon it fondly and remember whatever we wanted to remember and compare notes. And we came down to the fact that that girl was crazy. In a good way.
I hope she's not a listener.
In a good way. No, she's not allowed to listen. Restraining order still in place. She can't listen to me within 100 feet of a radio. Yeah. I don't understand how that works, that restraining order.
I get it, but what's gone is gone.
Right.
And I mean,
and she had also dated John Cryer, as a side note. I don't know. That guy got around that John Cryer.
I just find it weird that he would dispute it.
You would let it ride? You would just,
yeah,
go,
I mean,
she
so
wants to say she did that. Maybe it was also some pride for him saying, I didn't have to wait. He was like 20 when he made the movie. I didn't have to wait till I was 20. I was still doing okay in high school. Maybe that was his way of saying that.
I'm sick of everybody in Hollywood. You know,
everybody.
I was watching the
Wendy,
Emmys with
don't say
Jimmy
that.
Mack,
there's and some good people in Hollywood.
He watched a few presentations with me on the Emmys, and then he's just like, "I just don't care."
What?
And you know,
they're
what?
The most important people in the world are your stars.
I kind of blew him a little crap for saying that. I'm like, "What do you mean you don't care? You don't watch TV? What? Because Luke Skywalker's not a presenter for everything."
Well done.
And he just said, no, I just really, a lot of these shows I don't watch and I don't care. And I felt hurt and offended when he said that. And the more I think about it, I'm kind of with
him. There's something to it. It really is funny because show business is so self-congratulatory.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other industry. If the local plumbers, pipefitters union was having some awards banquet and they put it on TV, you might know the same amount of plumbers that you do movie stars, but you wouldn't watch the Plumbers Awards. You wouldn't be rooting for anybody over another plumber, you know?
Yeah, but we watch these people on the screen, so we should watch
the
awards.
We watch them on the screen, but it's weird that we're rooting or pulling for any particular star unless you truly know them. And, you know, very few of us are fortunate to know the people that are up for the awards. I mean, you're pulling for the one you think is the best, but
I don't even pull for him anymore. I care more about who wins Big Brother than I do.
Wow.
I just don't, I mean.
But also, there are so many award shows that, you know, you go, oh, does she need another award? I mean, really, does she? There's so many people that just need some kind of a confidence boost. How many awards does this woman need before she gets enough confidence?
It sounds like you're getting a little.
No, I'll watch them to my last breath.
I
love them.
I like watching. I just like looking at them out of their element.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're not acting.
They don't have anybody writing for them. They have to speak from the heart, and that's not always easy to do.
Well, the presenters have people writing for
them. Yeah.
And that's getting hokier by the minute. Every time I watch a show, I think of John Williams' clever saying, hokey smokes, because it's very hokey.
Well, they're given a very fixed amount of time to be hopefully clever, and sometimes it clicks and sometimes it doesn't click. You know, so it's not the easiest thing in the world. Also, there's that game where they put two people together for weird reasons, you know? Like, they think, well, this will make sense on some level. We don't know what it is, but let's put that guy, let's put John Hamm.
Yeah, of course you bring him up because he's the best looking guy in all the land.
Wow.
Who was he with, though? Naomi Watts.
Right.
I was jealous of her. But
But what is it about John Hamm and, like, who would go, well, that's a natural. Let's put them together. I guess because they're both pretty, right?
Yeah, I like her. She's getting better looking as she gets older. Are you noticing that?
I would put John Hamm with Malcolm X, because then you had Hamm and X. Wouldn't that be great? I would only do wordplay. I would do celebrity wordplay every single round. I wouldn't do anybody whose names didn't make a bad pun.
There's something better.
Hamm and who?
There's got, like, Engelbert Humperdinck. Hamm and I'm almost there. I gotta think of it.
You better hurry. The show's going to be on in 51 more weeks. They need presenters.
All right. I will think of duos for next week.
Hamm and who?
I got to think. You can't put me on the spot like this. I'm going to come up with three duos sometime next week.
And they're only together because their names sound funny together.
Yes.
That's it.
I'm not challenging you because I say...
Bill Hader and James Spader.
Yeah.
Hader and Spader.
I get it.
You're halfway home.
Yeah, you could go another way, too. I'm thinking Bill Hader and Lovie Smith, but why would Lovie Smith... Like, hate and love, but why would Lovie Smith even... See why I'm not a writer?
This would be the writer's meeting where you suggest that. Everybody going, we could do that, sure. Okay.
All right, Hader and Spader's funny, but I'm trying to think of, you know, goes together like salt and pepper.
Oh!
Like, kind of like that. Like the Hamm and X is really kind of pushing it.
Hamm and X?
That took me like 10 minutes to get.
Well, some of them you wouldn't get right away. You'd have to, they're little puzzles that you have to work on for a while. And then you call your mom and you go, hey, I figured out why... Why John Hamm was with Malcolm X. And then your mom goes, Malcolm X is no longer with us. What are you thinking? Then you hang up on your mom.
I will have three duos that go together.
Tomorrow you will?
No, I'm not here tomorrow.
Are you taking the day off to think of this?
To think about it.
Wendy, that's not fair.
Sometime next week.
All right.
And I know, Jasmine, tell me I'm not here tomorrow. Bill's going to rattle off 30 of them just because he does. That's what you do.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's my revenge. That's my sweet revenge. All right. We'll take a break. Kim, thanks for hanging out. Kim? We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night. Good night. Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. I'll be the same till then. And though it's always sweet sorrow to part, you know.
All right, that's it for today's episode of The Bonus Hour. We hope you guys all enjoyed yourselves. What did you enjoy yourself during The Bonus Hour?
I had a hella good time.
Yes, that's the right way to describe it. Absolutely correct. You're our winner. Tomorrow we will be Wendy free during The Bonus Hour and the regular show.
So have a good day.
You come back on Monday?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, and you'll have a whole bunch of those celebrity names to put together?
I don't know about Monday. You got to give me some time.
All right, a couple of weeks, a month, a couple of years? How long do you need?
I don't know. All sometime right. Next week.
That's fair. That's fair. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tune in again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.